Would you turn in your Bible, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to read tonight just one verse, verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. Thank you for letting me share those thoughts with you. I want to be a pastor that helps and encourages you every season of the year. And this is a wonderful church, but we must keep the priorities in the right place. And I hope that this will help you this summer. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 8. I'm going to preach from only one verse tonight. And that means what?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. All right, good. Just want to make sure. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. And it reminds me of the kid that he invited his friend to the Baptist church, and then they traded. He said, "I'll go to the Baptist church if you go to the he says, "I'll go to the Catholic church with you if you go to the Baptist church with me." By the way, never make that trade. And they went to the Catholic church, and the little Baptist boy saw the priest giving the wafer. He said, "What's that?" And he saw the priest and all the people genuflexing, and he said, "What's that mean? And what's that mean? And what's that mean?" The little Catholic boy kept telling him what all this meant. And they went to the Baptist church, and the pastor took off his watch, and he set it down on the pulpit, and the little Catholic boy said to the Baptist boy, "What does that mean?" And the little Baptist boy said, "Nothing, absolutely nothing." So I took it off. I might look at it here, but let's read tonight 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God." Let us pray. Father, help me as I open your word now, and may we learn not to be ashamed of the gospel. May we be strong in our identification with the gospel and with the soldiers of the gospel. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Every child that sang on the platform tonight has experienced at some point in their life peer pressure. The goal of Lancaster Baptist School is to make sure that the dominant peer pressure is always good peer pressure, and that those who have the greater influence are those who are walking with God. Peer pressure can be used in a good way if there is a positive influence, but sometimes it's used, and oftentimes in a not so good way. Peer pressure is affecting the way people dress today. It affects where they attend school and sometimes phrases they repeat and music they listen to. And oftentimes it's peer pressure that directs influences lives more than we would ever admit. Martin Lindstrom, a former market research expert and the author of Brandwashed, argues that advertisers know something that human beings have in common with birds and termites. Without even thinking about it, we're often controlled by peer pressure. Lindstrom wrote how bird species rise from a field in complete synchrony and as doing so almost as if choreographed to do so. Scientists will say that birds are acting as if they shared one collective brain. Termites also act like one enormous termite brain. In other words, Lindstrom writes, only by observing and mimicking the behavior of its neighbors can a termite figure out what it should be doing. Well, the fact of the matter is tonight that teenagers and single adults and moms and dads here tonight, we are either conforming to Christ or we are conforming to the world. We are either living in the sense of a cultural life or in the sense of a countercultural life. We're either going with the flow and going with the crowd, or we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either becoming more like Jesus or you're becoming more worldly or more like the world. As the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Timothy, I want to challenge you that you would not be ashamed to identify with the gospel, and that you would not be ashamed to identify with me as a prisoner of the gospel." Now just think about this for a moment, if you would. Think about the Apostle Paul training the next generation. And here he is essentially saying to Timothy, his own son in the faith, "Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Timothy, don't be afraid to identify with me." Sometimes, very infrequently, but sometimes I might find myself at a place like the shopping mall. I've done my best to stay away from that mall for many years, but periodically I'll be walking in the mall or perhaps in a public shopping place. And sometimes I'll see some of our teenagers along the way, and oftentimes our teens will come up to me, "Hey, Pastor, how you doing?" They'll shake my hand. They're glad to see me. Normally, that's an indicator that something good's going on in their life. Sometimes I'll see a young person and they'll even act as though they kind of want to get out of my line of sight, or they'll duck under something and not even realizing I'm just there shopping. I'm really not there on a spying journey. I'm just there kind of doing what everyone else does, just kind of trying to get some stuff, you know. But the fact of the matter is that when we are unwilling to identify with God, God's people, God's word, it signals something's not quite right in the heart. Paul said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Teenagers, don't be ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed of a dad that sings in church. Don't be ashamed of a mom that looks like a godly lady. Don't be ashamed of a preacher that thunders out the word of God. Don't be ashamed of a school principal or youth pastor that's just trying to help you. Paul said, Timothy, would you please be willing to identify? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for our military men and women, and I'm thankful that they identify with our flag and our nation, one nation under God. I don't want to have someone in the military that's not proud of the flag. I want people in the military that truly would give their life for the red, white, and blue. Nor do we want people who allege to be Christians who are ashamed of the very things of God. And I want you to learn three lessons with me tonight as Paul challenges Timothy about making the right identification. Notice, first of all, the identification of God's servant. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. The word not ashamed is speaking here of Timothy not being timid about it. Don't be shy about it, Timothy. Don't worry. Just stand up and let him know that you believe in Christ and that you're with the Apostle Paul. And listen, there's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with saying there is a church of God. There is a man of God. I'm with them. I'm with him. It's all right to say that. It's all right to make the proper identity. It's okay to identify with God and his people. And so the identification of God's servant, first of all, we must identify with the Lord. The Bible teaches us here in this verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The testimony here, it speaks of the witness of the Lord. Sometimes the word is used even for the martyrs who gave witness for the Lord. Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, we need some dads here who raise up some children and some fathers who are not ashamed to be saved and to read your Bible and to pray at work. And to invite someone to Lancaster Baptist Church. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Men and women that will take their stand with the Lord. Who is on the Lord's side? The songwriter said. Oh, that we would make our stand and let it be known this summer. We are on the Lord's side. Many times people are invited to class reunions and they go back to some class that they knew 20 years ago and they kind of try to dress cool and act cool and wear clothes that they really don't fit into anymore. In case you didn't know it, leisure suits and bell bottoms are out of style. You know, it's okay to go to a class reunion and dress modestly. It's okay to go to a class reunion and carry gospel tracts in your pocket. Come on now, It's okay to not be ashamed of Jesus. But what if they call you a Jesus gal or a Jesus guy? Hey, that's a good thing, right? It's okay to identify as a child of God, because the other crowd's going to identify with their pet. They're going to identify with their marijuana. They're going to identify with their television show. They're going to identify with Budweiser. They're going to identify with whatever. I'm just saying, God's word teaches us, don't be ashamed to identify with the fact that you are a Christian. Amen. Identify with the Lord. Author Kent Hughes said, the cross of Christianity was a scandalous symbol in the first century. It may seem incredible that people would view Jesus as shameful, but both Jews and Gentiles viewed crucifixion as the ultimate emblem of disgrace and dishonor. Polite pagan company never mentioned the equivalent of the word cross, and yet we're told to take up the cross. We're told to identify with the cross. We're told to be proud of the cross and the blood that was shed. Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Hey, stand up for Jesus Christ and don't be ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ and give thanks to the Lord for all that he's done. But then he says further in verse 8, be thou not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Notice this now, nor of me his prisoner. Let's say that together. Nor of me. Say it again. Nor of me his prisoner. Paul warned Timothy not to be ashamed of his imprisonment. Some, such as Hymenaeus, that Paul mentions in both of these letters, gloated of Paul's imprisonment. But Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. I was at Costco the other day and was walking through there and picking up some groceries and so forth. And I saw a young man out of the corner of my eye from our church, probably here tonight. And before he could come to me, his other sales partner came. And I don't know if they were selling phones or televisions or what they were selling, but the young man came up to sell something. And I'm just not sharp enough to know which one of those deals to get, you know. And I normally get confused whether it's solar or phones or whatever. I can't quite always make out the math myself. And so I was listening politely, and he was telling me all about this product. And the other young man from our church walked up. He said, hey, pastor, how you doing? Good to see you. Yeah, I'm looking forward. And he's telling me about some things this summer he wanted to do for the Lord. You know, I'll tell you what, it made this pastor's heart feel good. Made me thankful for a young man that came up and he told his friend, this is my pastor over at Lancaster Baptist Church. It was kind of obvious that they'd talked about church before. It was kind of obvious that maybe he'd invited his friend to church before. And he wasn't ashamed of the Lord. And he wasn't ashamed of the servant of the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 17, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And so we see identification. Hymenaeus did not want to identify with the Apostle Paul. But Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. I know I'm in prison right now because of preaching, but don't be ashamed of me. There might come a day when you say, well, everybody at my school, everybody at my work, they think that Bible believers are weird and Baptists are crazy, and they think it's weird to go to church, and they think it's weird to read the Bible. They think it's strange to be someone that witnesses like this, and it's just kind of embarrassing to me. Let me just encourage you. The Bible says that we're to die to ourselves. We're to be filled with the Spirit, and we ought to care more about Jesus than we do about what the peer pressure says. Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Be willing to identify. I'm thankful tonight that while there are not enough, there are still some great men of God preaching around this country. Men of God that I identify with, I thank God for them. I'm thankful for so many of you, and sometimes I've been to some of your workplaces, and I'm thankful that I can identify with you as your pastor and your friend and as a co-laborer. The way I view it, we're all striving together for the faith of the gospel, all for one and one for all, standing together for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see the identification of God's servant, but notice secondly, the participation of God's servant. He says in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Now watch this. Teenagers, watch this, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now, first he says, don't be ashamed of those of us who are in the gospel ministry, right? But now he says, take it the next level. Why don't you get involved with us? Do you know one of the happiest moments that I have often during the course of 30 days at Lancaster Baptist Church is jumping onto the teen soul-winning bus from time to time. And jumping onto that bus and seeing 40 or 50 teenagers on a bus with some youth workers getting ready to go out to a neighborhood or a park or somewhere, maybe a convalescent home, wherever they're destined to go. And here they are as teenagers partaking in the gospel ministry and not being ashamed of Jesus and not being ashamed to tell others and going out maybe to some public school. I'm going to tell you what, isn't that a blessing that we have teenagers at this church that actually as teenagers go out and go soul winning for Jesus Christ? Some of you dads should have said amen from the top of your lungs right there. Let's stop drinking water and chewing gum and start saying amen tonight. Some of you parents that actually have a child that gets on a bus and goes out soul winning and their main concern is life is not themselves but serving others, some of you ought to thank God that we have a church where teenagers care enough to tell others about Jesus Christ. Listen, what gets emphasized gets done. Mom and dad, you ought to emphasize to your children you're proud of them for telling others about Jesus Christ. By the way, that's what Paul is saying. Notice it here. He says in this verse, but be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel. In other words, someone says, well, if pastor wants to preach like that, or if he wants to pass out a track, or if a brother chapel wants to look like a fool, or brother guy's going to stand up there and do that, if they want to do that, that's for them. Paul said, don't just make it for us, but join with us in telling others about Jesus Christ. Be a partaker of the gospel ministry. The participation. Oh, instead of hiding from the gospel or the implications of the gospel. Say, well, I don't mind being, you know, a Jesus person. I don't mind having a bumper sticker on my car. And I don't even mind telling people I go to church. But now, really living for God this summer, Pastor? I mean, really honestly witnessing for Christ and looking and acting like a Christian and all of this type of thing. I just don't know if I can do that. But that's exactly what Paul is challenging Timothy with. Not only to identify with the truth, but to identify with the servant of the gospel, participating in the ministry of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, and sent Timothy as our brother. Brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Oh, listen, we're here striving together for the faith of the gospel, participating together in the faith of the gospel. And I'm telling you right now that there are some 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds and 18-year-olds in this church, and they're the next deacons and Sunday school teachers and bus drivers and bus captains, and we need to involve them participating with us in the gospel. Listen, it's not something they're going to neglect until their 20s and then just start doing. We've got to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. They've got to learn now how to serve and how to witness and how to be a person of distinction for the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how we need moms and dads to participate. Notice this, moms and dads, that notice what Paul's telling Timothy here. He's saying that you would be a partaker of the afflictions. We ought to be involved, moms and dads, ourselves in soul winning this summer. Ought to be involved witnessing. It ought not to be strange. Your child ought not to have a heart attack if you pull out a gospel tract at a burger shop and give it to somebody. They ought to sense that mom and dad, it's just normal for them to talk about Jesus. That's what Christians do. They talk about Jesus. You see, they're partaking in the gospel ministry. May I tell you tonight that a staff-run church is a staff-ruined church? If you think Brother Furso's our hired gun to go out and win souls, you don't understand the Christian faith. We're here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. All of us involved in the ministry together, all of us serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this in particular, we participate in the ministry and we participate in the afflictions of the gospel. Now notice this in verse number 8 again, he says, a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now I'm using witnessing as an illustration tonight, but if you would not participate in witnessing, will you really stand in the day of affliction? If you would not just witness for Christ when we have the freedom to do it, would you really do it if it was against the law? We've had missionaries recently expelled from China just for witnessing. Would you, if it was against the law to come to church to witness, would you stand in that day if you're not standing in this day? Think about what the late Justin Antonin Scalia said in April 1996. These are his words. Devout Christians in America are destined to be regarded as fools in modern society. Peer pressure says, I don't want to be the fool. I don't want to be the girl that's modest. I want to be the girl that's hip. I don't want to be the guy that's masculine. I want to be the guy that's cool. I don't want to be the church member that's sold out. You see, peer pressure says don't get too involved in identifying and participating. I mean, you can be a church member. Listen, like the hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of people who are church members of Baptist churches who never attend a service, my friend, that's not the kind of Christianity that's going to bring this country back to God. But he says Christians are destined to be regarded as fools in modern society. When Antonin Scalia died, people all over America had parties, literally with cakes and beer and wine, celebrating the death of a man who said exactly what they did would happen, that they would literally hate anyone who stood for moral truth. It's happened to every church and every missionary and every pastor and every Christian. There comes a time when you are a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Rick Martin went to the Philippines. He's one of the most renowned missionaries in world history, one of the greatest used men of God I've ever witnessed, and thousands of people have been saved, and they've started hundreds of churches, over 1,000 churches. It's just an amazing story. But when he first went to the Philippines, before they had a little congregation, before they had a little building, before anything was really happening, the Roman Catholic Church got on the radio and began to say daily on the radio many dozens of times a day, stay away from the Baptist missionary. He is a cult. Stay away from the Baptists, they are a cult. They do not teach the truth. They do not believe in the Pope. They do not believe in the sacraments. Stay away from the Baptist missionary. How would you like to try to start a work for God in the midst of a campaign by that religion against you? And that's what he endured day after day after day until one of the great Baptist churches in our day was finally established. He had to endure some affliction. I want to tell you, friend, that there have been afflictions that have been endured even in this ministry. I remember so very well that first month of June and July as we came into Lancaster, California. I remember taking my little bit of savings and putting the sign that said Lancaster Baptist Church. The sign prior to that said AV Church Center. And I had the sign made Lancaster Baptist Church. And I remember going up into the little auditorium where I preached. It was just about 40 people up there, and we had the other part rented downstairs, and I put some carpet up there and put a little platform, and I was so happy, and we had a sound system. Don't ask me why we had a sound system for 30 people, but you have to have a sound system. Got that sound system set up, and I went downstairs to the basement, set up a little office, and I had my college degree, and I had my ordination certificate, and had some of my books there. And we were so happy that first week just to get a few things set up. And I remember walking to the church. I walked down Spearman Way where we lived at the time and walked from our apartment down to the building. And when I got there that morning, I saw somebody had thrown a rock through the sign that said Lancaster Baptist Church. I went into the building. The building had been broken into. They stole our sound system. They'd gone into my little study and thrown down my college degree and my ordination certificate and poured red Kool-Aid on it and destroyed many of the books and just ripped them up, apparently for fun. And I realized from the very first week here that there was a devil that did not want the gospel to be preached. And I had come to this place with no salary and no organization of church and no medical, and had a wife expecting a baby and had very little in the way of organization and all of these things. We'd come by faith, and I think the devil recognized we were coming by faith in order to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we were willing to identify with soul winning, and we were willing to identify with strong preaching, and we were willing to identify with godly music, and we were willing to identify as a Bible-believing Baptist church. And I'm telling you, the devil didn't like it, but we endured the affliction, and tonight we're blessed of God to sit in this auditorium. Why? Because in the early days, there were some men and women who endured affliction, and God helped the second generation and third generation of this ministry who just want to put your kids in a Christian school and have a playground and a football and an athletic and have all the trappings of the ministry without getting involved in the ministry of soul winning and serving. I'm saying when we started the Christian school, every dad came in on Sunday night and set up the desk and set up the chairs so that we could have, and they helped Brother Howe set up the school, and they cranked up the buses and worked on the buses, and all of us labored together, and it wasn't always easy, but God blessed it. We don't need the teenagers coming in and just riding the pine, enjoying the school. We need you to identify with what this is all about. This is not just another parochial private school. This is a training institution, this church, training the next generation to stand for Jesus Christ. It's our prayer that will train some young men, young ladies. Maybe they won't all be preachers and missionaries, but if they're police officers or nurses or educators, whatever they do with their life, that they will take their stand for Jesus Christ. I was listening yesterday briefly on the news to a liberal politician challenging some graduates at Howard University to take their stand and to speak out. Boy, she was telling them to speak out for this cause and that cause and talking about her favorite rock and roll stars. And boy, just speak out, she said, and that's fine. Thank God for the freedom of speech. But may I say, young people, may I say, church family, we've got something to speak out about, and his name is Jesus. And God has called us to stand up and to speak out, to cry aloud and spare not. And we've got to get that message out, participating in the afflictions. Oh, that we would remember this. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so we see three truths. First, we must be willing to identify with God's gospel and with God's servant. Second, we must be even willing to participate with them. And not just saying, well, they do their Christian stuff and I do my worldly stuff, but saying all of us are here to serve Jesus together. And then notice finally this evening, the preservation of God's servant. Timothy was a little bit weaker, younger, a little fearful perhaps. He might have wondered, how's this going to work? I'm no Apostle Paul. I mean, I don't know if I can lead that way. And so the Bible says in verse number 8, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. God's power will preserve a child of God who willingly takes their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. It can be done according to or by way of the power of God. Now, how is God's power going to be found in the heart and life of an eighth grader? How's God's power going to be found in the single adult here who works out at Edwards? How will you be that man or woman of distinction that perhaps brings revival to your workplace? How does that happen? How does God's power get on someone so that they take a Sunday school class and fill it to the glory of God? How does that happen? Does it happen with trivial pursuits? Does it happen because of just lackadaisical attitude? How does the supernatural become known in our lives? It happens, first of all, when God's word gets into our heart to the point that we just can't help but say something about it. Brother Gary Williams is here tonight, and I sure love having men of God who've been in the ministry for many years helping in our ministry here. Brother Williams was at our home the other night. We're having a little birthday gathering for our grandson, Luke. He turned 2. And we were enjoying some fellowship. And Brother Williams pastored for many years in Missouri. He said, Brother Chapel, do you ever prepare a sermon? And while you're preparing it, you think to yourself, I wish I could preach this right now. Do you ever get that way where you just want to get that truth and share it with someone? I said, yes, sir, I know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, I felt that way about this very message that I'm preaching right now. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get the word of God in you, it will stir you up. It will make you believe. It will make you understand that God, if he could close the mouths of lions, and God, if he could guide a rock into the forehead of a Philistine, and God, if he could spare a family in the ark, then God can take care of you, and God can take care of me, and God can do anything but fail. Where do we get that faith? We get it from the word of God, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Oh, friend, that's why Jesus said to Satan when he came and tempted him and endeavored to take him down, if you will, and he said, command these stones that they be turned into bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Charles Hodge wrote, in opposition to all the suggestions of the devil, the sole, simple, and sufficient answer is the word of God. This puts to flight all all the powers of darkness. The Christian finds this to be true in his individual experience. It dissipates his doubts. It drives away his fears. It delivers him from the power of Satan. And Paul the Apostle said, you, Timothy, can be a partaker. You can have ministry just like I've had it. You can start churches. You can see souls saved. If you'll just depend on the power of God and believe the word of God, it will lift your faith up that you can be used of God. But not only the power of God, but also the Holy Spirit of God. The power of God comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad in John 14, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." One of my favorite little phrases in the Bible is where Jesus says that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And lo, I am with you always." I'm glad that he's with us in 2017. I'm glad that he's been with us for 31 years. And he says, "Lo, I'm with you every step of the way." And so here's the question tonight. Are we going to stand for the Lord? Are we going to bow to the crowd? Are we going to bow to God? Or are we going to bow to the crowd? And Paul said, "Timothy, young man, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of me. Take your place as a soldier of the cross. Be willing to identify. Be willing to take a stand as a Bible-believing Christian in 2017 to do what God has called you to do." In 1986, God called me here to Southern California. Oh, there may be other places in the country friendlier to the gospel. There may be other places where you even can walk in sometimes to a restaurant, hear people talking about Jesus, or hear Christian music playing. And I don't often have those experiences here in California. But I've got to tell you something. There's a great work being done here. And like the open door for the church of Ephesus, the darker the night, the brighter the light. And God has put us in this place. And not to slacker back and not to ride the pine. But he said, "I want you to identify with my gospel. Be a partaker in the ministry." And hey, we have the privilege tonight of making a difference in perhaps the least evangelized state in this country, making a difference for the glory of God. So if life is all about your comfort zone, find it. But if you're living this life, as I hope I am, for that day when I see Jesus Christ, roll your sleeves back up. Be a partaker of the ministry. Get some gospel tracts in your pocket. Get to the house of God. Find a place to serve. There are still children that need to hear about Jesus. There's still an opportunity. Listen, we can try to bail out all we want. We can try to find our escape route. Or we can say, "Not me. I'm all in. I'm not going to run away. I'm going to be right in my place, being a partaker for the Lord Jesus Christ." How many Baptists have gone AWOL? How many Baptists have gone AWOL? I don't know how you read it, but I read the stories of men like this Bergdahl that leave their unit. They abandon their duty post. I have a hard time with that. But Jesus doesn't deserve less. He deserves more. Timothy, be willing to identify with the truth. Be willing to identify with the man of God. Take your stand. Oh, this is the time we challenge seniors in high school and college and kindergarten. We challenge the graduates to take their stand. I want to challenge the parents to take their stand. Are we just here to get the kids through school and then we party hardy? Woo, got that done. Church helped me. I'm out of here. Or are we all in to take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall we stand together, please? Who in this place is on the Lord's side? Who in this place is willing to take their stand, to be a partaker? Which of the young men in this auditorium, which of the single adults and teenagers? I mean, is it all about can't wait to get out of this place and, man, I'm going to be right at the dances. I'm going to be having myself a good time with all my worldly friends. Chugging it down, boy. We're the ones saying, "I can't wait to have my chance to pass out gospel tracts and stand up for Jesus and stand shoulder to shoulder with my pastor, unashamed of the gospel of Christ." Amen. That's the choice. Do you go with the crowd Do you fly with the flock? Do you walk with the ducks? Or do you soar like an eagle? God is calling for some people to stand, to identify, and to not be ashamed. Say, well, can't wait to get in that motorhome, get on my motorcycle, can't wait to put on my Raiders cap. Whatever your vision is, hey friend, why don't you make sure Jesus is right in the middle of that? As you do your rejoicing and your relaxing, make sure that you're not negligent of the privilege duty you have to be in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. Taking gospel tracts, getting to the house of God, serving Him. Paul said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of it. Wear it gladly. I may have said this morning. I was with my wife the other day, and we're driving through a parking lot. Here came a young couple towards us. Young lady had on a sort of a sweatshirt, and it said, sinful. Sinful. I rolled down my window. My wife often grabs me when this type of thing takes place. I always carry in my car door gospel tracts, just real handy there. I pulled one out. I said, hey, you guys got something for you to read right here. Hey, we're all sinners, aren't we? We're all sinful. That's why Jesus came to die for us. I'll never forget what she said. She said, oh, it's just a brand. Teenage young ladies, what brand are you going to wear this summer? What's your brand? I gave her the gospel. How many of you know Jesus can change the whole brand of your life? Amen. I just want to encourage you. Take your stand. Wear His brand. Don't be ashamed. Don't, please. And by the way, I don't care if you're in the most compromising position and I see you at the mall. Please don't run from me. Just act like I'm happy that you're smoking and getting a tattoo. And I'll act like you're like a Mormon or something. No, I won't do that. But don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Don't be unwilling to identify. As you go through these upcoming months, live for Jesus.